from coast to coast and around the world. You are now walking with spirit. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Monique Chapman, your host, and thank you for joining us for an hour of personal and metaphysical growth. Each week, Walking with Spirit explores different topics from the mundane to the mystical with stimulating guests from all over the world who share their knowledge to uplift consciousness during Earth's ascension. We apologize for being a little bit late today, but the producer was calling me at someone else's house and I wasn't there. But we found each other and we're here ready to go. And tonight we have Colleen Craig, the author of Pilates on the Ball, Abs on the Ball, and Strength Training on the Ball, who will share with us how to keep our bodies fit in 2006. If you'd like to speak with us, the phone lines are open and the numbers are toll-free 1-888-268-4313 or 281-419-7697. We also encourage you to email your questions to spiritanswers@walkingwithspirit.net, and your questions will be answered on the air in real time. Now, Colleen has been very gracious, and she has gifted us with presents for the new year. So the first five people who call in to ask a question will get a free copy of her book or DVD. Now, a bit about me for our new listeners. I'm an intuitive energy therapist with 25 years' experience. I have helped thousands of people from stay-at-home parents to corporate executives make their invisible dreams visible. Utilizing my gifts, I simultaneously am in touch with the past, present, and future, eliminating the fog and paving the way for clarity. I work with Eastern, Western, Caribbean, and African methodologies, in addition to being a board-certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, and ordained minister. I am available for private consultations in the areas of prosperity, business, career, dreams, life path, relationships, personal growth, negative energy removal, and manifesting techniques. I achieve success by blending intuitive wisdom with pragmatic action. Allow me to assist you in turning your life around. There is no need to suffer when I'm here to help you. Log on to www.healing-visions.com or www.walkingwithspirit.net and give me a call today toll-free at 888-240-6057. Tonight, Colleen Craig is a certified Stott Pilates trainer and established writer. She lives in Toronto, Canada, where she teaches workshops around the world. Welcome to Walking with Spirit, Colleen.
Thank you. Good evening.
How are you tonight?
Very fine. I'm doing fine. It's a bit later in the evening for me, though, than it is for you.
I know. And when we were running a little late, I'm like, oh, no. So you're on the East Coast.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, no problem. Well, you know, I figured this is the new year, and so many people are making New Year's resolutions and wanting to make changes in their lives. And generally, we have a pretty metaphysical bent to the show, but I thought this would be an prime opportunity to talk about taking care of this physical vehicle that we live in while we're here on Earth. So that's why I wanted you to have you on at the beginning of the year. Why don't you give us a little background about yourself?
Well, I'm a Pilates trainer, but I came to it quite late in life, up to age 40. I was very involved with trying to launch a writing career, and I wasn't really that connected with my physical being, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through this sort of turning 40 midlife crisis, and I do have a dance background, so I wanted to kind of reconnect with a more spiritual side of myself and a more physical side. And when I sort of tried a few Pilates classes out, I just sort of fell in love with it, never really realizing it would be this huge change in career direction that it was. And I was able to bring together my love of writing with my love of teaching and also connect with my physical being.
Mm-hmm.
So that was about 9 years ago. And it's been a wonderful career to be in many, many ways.
Okay. Well, for those of us who are not quite familiar, what is Pilates? And could you give us a little history on that?
Yeah, Pilates is a German, it's the name of a German man, Joseph Pilates. He was a German circus performer, boxer, and gymnast who invented this set of exercises during World War I. He was a German prisoner in an English camp and during World War One, and he had all of the guards as well as the prisoners in this camp doing his exercises. And he was also very interested in the Eastern philosophies of exercise. So he studied a lot of Eastern, and he actually borrowed. He borrowed the best from the Eastern philosophies of exercise as well as the Western. So it's a kind of a mix of East and West. From the East, he borrowed mind-body connection, mm-hmm. contemplation, and relaxation. And from the West, he borrowed muscle conditioning, stamina, and intensity of movement. So I think he brought together these two approaches to exercise. And I think that really is one of the reasons that Pilates is so popular today, because this is really what people are looking for when they want to exercise. They want something that is a mix of the East and the West, and that's what you have with Pilates. It's a form of exercise that uses stretching and strengthening. It's a mind-body exercise, so you use the mind to re-educate the body. You focus your mind on what your body is doing, and it's a very relaxing way to exercise. And I think this is also what attracts so many people. There is an explosion of interest in the Pilates method around the world, which is one of the reasons why I've been so lucky to train teachers all over the world. I've been traveling. And I think it's this blend of the East and West, which is really what is so attractive to, I guess it really speaks to the needs that we have for exercise today.
Yeah, well, it seems like exercise is really changing from the, you know, good old jumping jacks when I was a kid, you know, that little physical
yeah.
workout where you had to do sit-ups and bend over and touch your toes and all, and then we went through the aerobics type thing and the weight training, and this seems to be almost a combination of everything, but with so much less stress on the body.
Absolutely, absolutely. We know so much more about the body today as well, and so people, and as people age too, the aging population. But not just them. I think everybody's looking for a much safer, more balanced way and a more relaxing way to get rid of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this really speaks to that.
Okay. Well, you said, you know, stress relief, and that's one of the great big buzzwords going on right now. What? Let's back up a little bit. What type of equipment do we need to perform this? And then how can we relieve stress by doing so?
Well, you don't need a lot of, equipment, which is one of the things I do work with balls, small and large exercise balls, which are, relatively inexpensive. And then small weights, like 2, 3, and maybe 5 pound weights and a mat. That's really all you need, to do this. We use the balls very much as a partner in exercise. To me, the balls are not pieces of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They are really a partner that you work with as you get down on that mat, or perhaps you're sitting up on the ball doing the exercises. So I really hope that people connect to the balls. And we use the balls for everything. I mean, even to start with the breath, we do, a bit of breathing exploration at the beginning. And the balls sort of react to what your body is doing. As you're breathing, you can feel the balls kind of breathing with you. I know it sounds a bit corny, but this is what we, hope that people feel. And then, of course, as you get into the workout, you use the ball to add resistance.
Mm-hmm.
To encourage weight bearing. And also the balls are wonderful for stretching. They create a firm and comfortable surface, to do stretches, with. And they're just a lot more interesting than lying on a mat or lying on a bench, and doing, lifting barbells up in the air. This is, a very different approach to strength training.
Mm-hmm. So what type of teacher or instructor do we need for this?
This is all Pilates-based work. So
mm-hmm.
even though it is strength training, we are working with small weights. I do some work also with resistant bands. But it's Pilates-based work. So the best thing, you know, if people are interested in pursuing it more, is to find a teacher who, you know, is certified as a Pilates teacher, you know, or a very good personal trainer who has a certain experience working with the ball mm-hmm. and, you know, with doing this kind of, you know, more relaxing. Remember, we're working with small weights here, so it's not the type of weight training where you're breaking down the body. We're not bulking up certain muscles at the expense of other muscles.
Uh-huh.
We work with small weights, 2-pound weights, 3-pound weights, at the very, very most, occasionally 5-pound weights, but usually 2- and 3-pound weights. So it's a very functional weight training. You know, we're training the body to be able to use it in functional situations, so that older, you know, populations, older women can lift their hand luggage up into their overhead compartments in airplanes. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can put large soup cans up into the closet. This is really what we're working, is the functionality of how the body moves. So, you know, to lift huge, heavy weights is not as functional as this kind of Pilates-based weight.
Okay. Well, you said that the Pilates is functional. Now, you mentioned the little ladies and, you know, suitcases and soup cans, but what about the older gentlemen as they get older, or even the young man? I mean, is it something that, you know, someone 21, 22 years old wants to get into to keep that level of strength and toneness that they have available to them?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the advantages of working, first of all, with smaller weights, like not as heavy weights, and working in conjunction with the ball, is that young men, even young men who are interested in bodybuilding, for example, can have huge benefits from working in conjunction with the ball, because it's an unstable surface. So unlike any mat or piece of equipment, the ball is unstable. So what it does is it targets the deepest core muscles of the body. So not only are those superficial muscles, the meaty, you know, superficial muscles of the chest and arms working, but also those deep postural muscles. And so young men or older men or all populations are very concerned with the health of their backs, for example.
Uh-huh.
This is, you know, not only are we working the shoulders and chest, but also the deepest layer of abdominals. So this helps prevent low back pain. It helps posture. Another great thing the ball does is work with balance, which is important at all ages, but especially older populations. Working with an unstable ball, helps to, you know, make those split second adjustments that may prevent a fall.
Yeah, I was chuckling because when I first got mine, I sat on it because one of the exercises was just to sit on it and get
yes.
used to it. And I used to fall off it all the time.
And people do. They do in my classes. That's why I work, you know, on a very thick carpeted floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put sticky yoga mats on top, because the sticky yoga mat is very good for traction and you don't slip on it, but it is good if you've, you know, got a thick, because there's nothing wrong with falling. You know, it's how we fall.
Okay.
We need training in falling, but you need to fall in, you know, in a safe way. I mean, I don't encourage my students to fall. We don't fall very often. Just sitting, I mean, you mentioned sitting on the ball. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed that more and more people are using the ball in offices now just to sit on at computers.
Mm-hmm.
Because sitting, you know, up on a ball at a computer is much more active for the health of the back rather than slouching, you know, in a chair. So you see more and more, and even overseas, they're using balls in classrooms with kids, because they find that children will pay attention more sitting on a ball than they will slouching, you know, in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, you know, sitting on the ball, I mean, you mentioned that, and it is a very, it's very effective in itself. You won't be able to sit all day on a ball. because it is active work.
And I discovered, yes.
Yeah, your postural muscles will fatigue. But
I was
could,
so happy to have the cushion behind me in the chair.
But you could sit for 20 minutes. You know, you could sit on your ball for 20 minutes in front of the computer and then go back to the chair and then come back to the ball later on and go back and forth, which is what I encourage my students to do if they have balls at home.
Okay. Well, how do we know the right size ball to get? I mean, you know, you go in the store, there's a small, medium, large, and then there's the teeny ones. I guess you just hold in your hands.
Yes.
So tell us what. How do we judge the size, and then what do we do with the small ones?
Well, first of all, sizing the large balls. They come, for adults, they come in just the two sizes, which is the 65 centimeter ball, which is really for people quite tall. It's 5'8" and a half and taller would need a 65 centimeter ball. And by the way, the size of the ball is right on, it's written right on the balls and on the boxes.
Okay.
So it's very clear. Even if you're not used to working in centimeters, usually the balls are in centimeters. It's right on the side of the ball. And then the 55 centimeter ball is for people 5'7" and a half and shorter. And what we really want is as close to 90 degree flexion at the knees and the hips as possible. In Pilates based ball work, you're not doing a lot of bouncing on the ball. You can do a little bit of gentle bouncing, but we don't do an aerobic class on the ball because that's out of the scope of the Pilates method.
Mm-hmm.
However, you could choose to do that. And if you do, then the sizing of the ball becomes very, very important if you're doing a lot of bouncing. And so that's usually the guideline is 5'8" and taller, a 65 centimeter ball, and 5'8", 5'7" and shorter would be the 55 centimeter ball.
Now, do you cause any type of injury if you were, like, say, 5'6" and you had a 65 centimeter ball?
No, you don't. You don't. You're not going to cause injury unless you fall off the ball and you roll into your TV entertainment unit set, which can happen. I mean, I bring that up because sometimes people do that. It's very important that the area that you work on with the balls is completely, you know, is cleared of space and that you don't have sharp corners around. But the larger ball is not going to hurt anyone. It's just I find the larger balls are more a little bit heavier and a little bit more unwieldy. And if you're lying down on the mat, for example, and picking the large ball up between your legs and lifting it up in the air, then the larger ball is going to be heavier and more challenging. This is why I like personally the very small balls, the 9-inch softballs. I use them a lot in especially my last two books. I use them a lot in my classes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very inexpensive balls. They are wonderful softballs, and they have a skin, like their texture is almost skin-like, so they really feel good on your body. And those are great for working, you know, inner thigh muscles. Actually, they're good for targeting very specific muscle groups. And so I use the small ball as well. But, you know, people don't have to buy a lot of equipment. It's just, you know, get one ball and get one set of weights and get a mat and just start. I mean, that's the most important thing.
Okay. Now, why is it so important to stabilize that core muscle?
Well, for a lot of reasons, and this is one of the benefits of Pilates is we're working the body from the inside outwards. And so we are most concerned with the small, deep core muscles. These are the muscles that hold the spine up. These are the muscles that are closest to the core. And in many ways, the most important muscles, and in many ways, the muscles that are often injured. So we want to strengthen that inside core deep layer of muscles. Then when that is strong and when those correct muscles are targeted, then we think more about those larger, more superficial, the flashy muscles of the outer body. But so many of my students have lower back pain and problems or even shoulder. I mean, it's not just lower back. People have shoulder, upper back problems as well. And a lot of it is because the deep muscles, for example, around the shoulder blade are not strong enough. You see this with men who are very, very strong in the large superficial muscles of the chest, but they're not strong in those little muscles between the shoulder blades. And so they have shoulder injuries. They have upper back pain. So because Pilates is so associated with rehabilitation, there's a real link between the two, the approach is very much to work the body from the inside outwards.
Okay. Well, we're speaking with Colleen Craig. She's the author of Pilates on the Ball, Abs on the Ball, and Strength Training on the Ball. And she has gifted us with 5 DVDs and or books for our listeners. All you have to do is call in and be one of the first 5 people to call in, and you will get a free copy of her book or DVD. And the DVD, a book is wonderful too, but the DVD is actually very good because you can just pop it into your, you know, DVD player on the TV or laptop computer and take it wherever you go. So please call in and take advantage of the special offer that she's giving us. Colleen, what is your website and how can people connect with you?
The website is Pilates on the Ball, just one word, pilatesontheball.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that's where a good way to connect with me. I am in Toronto. Sometimes I have teachers or even students who come by and want to watch a class or maybe do a class if they're ever in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And also on the website shows my teaching schedule because I do travel quite a bit to teach teachers in different countries. And I have quite a teaching schedule lined up for this year coming up. So maybe some of your listeners might be in some of those countries where I'll be.
Yeah, well, this is worldwide, so you never know. Well, let me ask a question. Now, you know, we talked about the strength training and how, you know, we're, you know, advanced age and we want to, you know, keep fit and put those suitcases up and all, how Pilates is going to help us. But what about for someone who is, you know, just 20 to 35, 40 years old or older, 50, 60 pounds overweight and is looking to lose the weight? How can Pilates help them? And can you walk us through a particular scenario?
See, Pilates by itself will not necessarily take the pounds off because it's not an aerobic sort of exercise. It's not the type of exercise where you're high intensity, where you're burning a lot of calories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always encourage my students to do aerobic exercise, like biking perhaps, or walking. Walking is such a very, you know, good way to lose weight and to just look at your whole life differently. I mean, I love walking because it's a slow exercise. I mean, it's the slowest thing you can do besides crawling.
Mm-hmm.
Is walking. I mean, Pilates is also a slow exercise, but you know, have to often be on a mat in a class or with a tape or whatever. But walking is something you can just do anywhere. And as you're doing this slow exercise, it's very meditative. You get in touch with what you really want, who you really are. So I think walking works on many different levels for people. There's a lot of things that go into weight loss that, there's many books out there that help people with weight loss in terms of nutrition. I think it's really making, you know, a decision to look at what it is, you know, you want and finding an exercise method that you really connect with. I mean, because we all know that exercise, you know, we all know about the benefits of exercise. I mean, we know it calms stress. We know it lowers blood pressure. And some exercise regimes will also help lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really finding something that you connect with, you know, something that you connect with mentally, emotionally, and physically. And for some people, that might be, you know, walking. Some people might be swimming. I think it's really looking at what exercise you're doing right now and try to see what is missing, like what is missing from the programs that you're doing. I think a lot of the students I see that come to the Pilates on the ball classes are people who have given up on exercise. Like they, most of them are non-exercisers, in fact. And I do get a lot of women and men who are overweight who will not cope in aerobic class because they're too overweight. And they find that Pilates, even though it doesn't completely, it's not going to address weight loss in a very significant way, but it helps them relax. It helps them get in touch with their body. It helps them lie down on the mat and just breathe and release stress. So all of these things, I think, are the beginning of, you know, making changes. Also, the weight lifting that we do in classes does help lift the metabolism so that even after you put the weights down, the body is still burning some calories. But Pilates is not well known for weight loss.
Okay. But it will help with the strengthening so that as you gain more muscle, you burn more calories?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've got a chapter in your book, Strength Training on the Ball, that talks about children and strength training. What is a good age for children to begin doing this, and why is it so important for kids to start strength training so early?
I think, you know, in many ways, it's, you know, it's never too early to start. I mean, I think between 7, 8, and 9, those ages are very good ages to start. I mean, research shows that both boys and girls will benefit from strength training, but girls in particular, because girls in puberty need to pay attention to building bone density, because those are the ages that girls build bone density.
Really?
And yes, I know. And what that means is that they're laying down strong bones in puberty that are going to be necessary for the quality of their life years and years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So things like, you know, hopscotch, jumping rope, these kind of weight-bearing exercises are excellent for children. Also, I think today, because there's so much more obesity in children and its related problems, I think in the old, like when I was a child, like in the 50s and 60s, we had much more activity in our lives. We didn't, you know, we weren't in front of computer games. We weren't driven around in cars everywhere.
Right.
We rode bicycles much more, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not happening as much today. And so strength training is important for children, but it has to be fun. You know what I mean? It has to talk to children on that level. And I think balls do talk to children because they associate balls with play, which I think adults do, by the way, too. This is why adults tend to really, you know, enjoy ball classes, because they see the ball and their faces immediately, you know, light up. But I think, and I found that with my nieces, I did a lot of, you know, ball work with them as they were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wonderful way to connect with them, because I'm a hyperactive personality. They were hyperactive children. And we couldn't just sit in a room and talk. And, you know, them doing a computer game is something they do solitary. But, you know, exercise is something you can do in a family situation. You can get on the ball and do things together. I mean, even in my book, I do show a few partner exercises, you know, throwing the ball from one to the next, where two children can interact with balls. But I think it's very, very important to get children more active than they are.
Yeah, I agree. The fitness level has just declined so drastically.
And
they're going to be in trouble as they get older.
I know, and the fast food seems to have, you know, is just so much more available to them than it was in my day as well. So it's a combination of the two. And then the computer, this whole computer world that's out there that seems to have seduced, you know, the youth so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, too bad they can't get the Pilates on the computer, you know, and exercise while they're surfing the net.
That's right. They, even if they could, you know, again, it needs to be interactive. They need to actually, you know, do get down on the mat and do some things, throw the ball between their feet. I love games where you pick the ball up with your feet, you lie on your back, and you throw it up in the air and you catch it with your hands, and then you throw it in the air and catch it with your feet, and all that kind of stuff. Again, jumping rope, skipping, mm-hmm. is a lot more interesting to kids than standing there with barbells, if you know what I mean, like to actually put barbells in kids' hands and say lift.
It would probably be more interesting to adults too. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity to get back in touch with the inner child.
Yes,
and maybe
and
even heal some of those wounds.
Families can do this together, and it's a good way. It's a good solution, I think, for families who are inactive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're speaking with Colleen Craig. She's the author of three pieces of work: Strength Training on the Ball, Abs on the Ball, and Pilates on the Ball. Colleen, your work, is it available every place, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the major places?
Yes, all the bookstores, yes. Luckily, it is. And it is even available in a few languages as well now, so I'm happy to report that.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Okay, so you can go on to any of those places, and it is available via your website, correct?
Yes.
And that is?
PilatesOnTheBall.com.
Okay. Why don't we take each piece of work, and why don't you give us an explanation of what we could expect to find? And let's start with Pilates on the Ball.
Well, Pilates on the Ball is the first book. It was really, for me, sort of an adaptation of Joseph Pilates' work to the exercise ball, because balls are not associated with the Pilates method. And they're not part of the traditional equipment associated with the Pilates method. So what I did is I went through all the exercises to see what exercises could be enhanced by the balls. So it really shows all of the exercises that I felt, you know, were really exciting and really effective. It also shows how you can adapt some of the exercises from the pieces of equipment that are associated with Pilates to the ball, because the pieces of equipment are very expensive. And the ball, of course, you know, is a much more affordable way to do those exercises. So it shows the weights. It has a lot of abdominal exercises, stretching and strengthening exercises. And it was my first book, so it's got a lot of stories in it as well. It's not really an exercise manual. It starts off each chapter with a story. And the DVD, which is called Pilates on the Ball as well, shows the exercises in that book.
Okay.
And the second book, Abs on the Ball, focuses more on the abdominal core. How do we strengthen the abdomen? How do we, you know, prevent lower back pain? How do we get thinner waists? It's all, you know, it really focuses very much on abdominal work using small and large balls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started my work with that small ball I mentioned, the 9-inch small soft ball that I fell in love with when I saw it in Italy. I saw it in Italy and had to have it.
Oh.
You know, started to encourage people over here to bring that ball in and distribute it here. It's a very inexpensive ball, but it has a beautiful softness, and it's great for targeting those deep core or postural muscles. And then the third book, which is the Strength Training on the Ball, is a thicker book. It's got all of the stuff the first two books have, really, but even more in it. It focuses very much on, you know, using weights as well as resistant bands, mm-hmm. as well as the resistance of your own body. And it uses the small and large balls. And it's for all ages. As you said, there is a chapter for children in it. There is a chapter for older populations.
Mm-hmm.
It has a rehab chapter for people who are recovering from injuries. It has a chapter just on abdominal exercises. It's got 10 chapters of 10 different focuses. And it also begins with a story. Each chapter begins with a story, sort of an inspirational story to motivate people to get excited by, you know, exercise and by the balls and strength training.
Okay. Is it appropriate for people with Down syndrome and CP to work with balls? Is that something that could help bring them out?
Yes. Yes, it is. I haven't worked specifically with those population groups, but a book called Kids on the Ball, which is written by a physiotherapist and two educators. They have worked with children with different disabilities, as well as attention deficit disorder. And that book, Kids on the Ball, is available. It's a great book. And yes, they have had success working with the ball.
Okay, but however, your books that you have out, they can be adapted to children. I mean, you don't have to be an adult to run through the particular exercises that you share, do you?
No. Your question is,
your book be adapted for the children?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes. And I do have a specific chapter for children with exercises with children, pictures of children in them.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the exercises could be adapted with children. The thing with children is that they don't, there's a lot of breathing. Pilates has a breathing pattern that goes with each exercise. And children are very, they just breathe. Children just breathe. They don't want to be told when to breathe. Do you know what I mean? So you have to just let them breathe and do the exercises. And that's one way that you need to adapt them with children. The other thing is, you know, to keep the weights small. Like if you're working with children, you know, you're only working with 1 or 2 pound weights at the most. To be careful that the ball is the right size for children because, you know, you don't want, there are special ball sizes for children. For example, if children are under 5 years old, they use 30 centimeter balls.
Oh,
okay. These are special ball sizes for children under 5 years. And then there's a 45 centimeter ball for children who are 5 years old and up to, 4'11", I believe, in height.
Okay.
So you need the right size ball for children as well.
Okay. Now, if you're a tiny adult, you could use that 45-inch ball, too?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you know, as I started out the show with, this is the beginning of the year, and everybody is, you know, making those resolutions and wanting to get fit and all. And, you know, most people do pretty good for the month of January. And then in February, things start to dwindle, and by the time April comes around, the resolution is totally forgotten.
Yeah.
What can people do to really keep it going this time?
I think, you know, you have to look at what you need. Like some people might need to have a personal trainer, you know, that they actually see every week. Some people might need to enroll in a class. I think a class is wonderful because it's more affordable than one-on-one. You know, classes are, you know, there's 10 of you in a class. It's a kind of social group thing. And sign up for 10 classes, not just one, but, you know, a group of classes. And that is, you know, can be very, can work for people, or having a workout buddy, somebody that you, who goes for that walk with you every morning, even if it's, you know, early in the morning. Some people need to write their workouts in their diary, you know, every day and the other thing is, it doesn't have to be every day. I think people start off too eagerly. In January, they think, oh, I've got to do this every day, an hour a day, every day. I think that there's a lot of benefits with twice or, you know, three times is even better, but twice a week, there's huge benefits.
And
it doesn't have to always be an hour. If you have only 20 minutes here or 20 minutes there, I still think there's a lot of value. I mean, sometimes I just pick up weights. I have weights by my TV. If I'm late at night just sitting in front of the TV relaxing, mm-hmm. I will sometimes just pick up, you know, a 4-pound weight or a 5-pound weight. And just as I'm sitting there, I'll do 15 minutes of weight training, and that's it. And I put the weights down. That's it. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be always this whole hour-long thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. You know, we're so busy these days, and we just don't want to take the time for ourselves to really heal ourselves and keep ourselves moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What type of results can we expect from using Pilates, and how soon can we expect them?
You know, it depends on how, you know, how many times, you know, if you are doing it 3 times a week, you are going to see results much quicker. People sometimes feel, even after the first class or two, they feel taller. That's one of the things that people say as they come out of a Pilates class.
They feel taller?
They feel taller. This is, I hear this all the time.
Okay, why is that?
Because a lot of emphasis on elongating the spine, a lot of emphasis on posture. I don't even think I've mentioned it yet, but posture is a very, very important part of this work. And so, and the abdominal training that we're doing, people are learning how to draw their navel in, strengthen that deep core. They're working from their core. Mm-hmm. And so all that creates better posture. So they are looking trimmer and they have better posture. The other thing I noticed when I started Pilates, and as I mentioned, I started when I was 40, so I came to it sort of later in life. I had a dance background. I did a lot of walking, but I didn't do strength training. And the first thing I noticed, the very first thing I noticed when I started Pilates was my clothes started hanging on me around my waist because of the abdominal, the emphasis on the abdominal work. But the second thing I noticed was definition in the arm, like arm definition from the weights, the small weights. It's long, lean muscle. So you don't notice big, bulky muscles, but you notice this definition. And that's kind of, you know, it's exciting. I mean, we want something functional, and it creates functional bodies, but it's nice if you look at your body, and it looks nice, too. So that's one of the other benefits. I think it relaxes people. I think it puts you more in touch with your inner world too, what's going on, like the chaos inside. Mm-hmm. When you lie down on that mat, it's just you and the mat. And people take, some people don't like what they see. It's very interesting to watch, you know, students come into a class when they get down on that mat and, the world rushes in on you and, sometimes it takes a whole hour to keep that, you know, world back at bay and to relax. And so I think that is a huge benefit is you're doing exercise, but you don't realize you're doing exercise.
Okay. Well, Colleen, why don't you share with us your favorite success story?
Well, you know, I think the story that touched me the most really was a Russian woman, and I did actually open my book with this story because I just felt, you know, it said a lot. It was a Russian woman who was 60 years old who I met on a trip to Moscow, and she had the very bad luck of falling one day before New Year's Eve. This was a few years back. And because of that, she broke her hip. She fell and she broke her hip. And usually when you break a hip, you have an operation very soon, 24 hours within the fall. And then the goal is to get you moving as quickly as possible. This is not what happened with her. She fell. It was right around New Year's Eve. There was a lot of parties going on. It was New Year's Eve, holidays, drunken fest. I don't know what was going on. She wasn't operated on for 20 days.
Oh, gee.
And then when she was, she did not have any rehabilitation at all. There was no physiotherapist who saw her. She was sent home to her house, and she was apartment-bound, chair-bound, in fact. She hadn't left her chair. Mm-hmm. I mean, she moved from chair to chair, but she couldn't put any, she couldn't bear any weight on her leg. And her doctor couldn't get to the apartment to see her, so he said, you know, don't put any, you know, don't bear any weight until we see if it's healed properly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this was 5 months before he actually came and saw her and said, okay, the bone has successfully healed, but she hadn't done anything. And I started working with her, and it was very daunting because she, all of her muscles, like her muscles had lost their ability to work.
Mm-hmm.
And also for me, I'm used to working with, as a personal trainer, I'm working with people who love to exercise. She was a non-exercise. I mean, she didn't like to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
She had never been in a gym. She had never lifted a barbell in her life. And yet we had to get her moving. You know, we had to get her moving around her flat, never mind out into the, you know, outer world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we worked on strength training. We worked on doing strength building exercises. And it really made me think about what is strength. Like, we think of strength as, you know, a He-Man lifting, you know, 300 kilos in the air and stuff. But strength is really about function. It's about having the ability to walk, about, you know, to put those soup cans up in your, you know, top shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was working with her, and she made a slow progress, but she did, you know, make progress eventually. And now, I spoke to her on New Year's Eve, you know, 3 days ago, and she's walking again, and she's, you know, she's out and about.
That's wonderful.
But, it really makes you think that it's a lot. Strength isn't just what we think it is. You know, it's about moral fiber. It's about having, you know, the confidence to do what you want in life. I mean, there's just a lot of definitions for strength. And working with her, you know, really sort of opened my mind to that. And also it opened my mind to the fact that this book had to be a lot more about strength. I mean, a lot more about posture. It had to be about balance, which mm-hmm. I think is so important. It had to be about, you know, healing lower back pain, abdominal strength, a lot more than just lifting barbells up in the air.
Okay. Well, you know, you mentioned posture a couple of times. You know, there's scoliosis that people have, other back diseases that people have. How can working with your method help those people at least achieve some type of pain relief, if not balance?
Some of those problems, people do need to work, you know, with a physiotherapist and do very specific exercises.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see all of those sorts of problems in my classes, especially, you know, a lot of lower back pain. I mean, every second person comes to class with lower back pain. And I think the sort of what Pilates does is it works, because it works the body from the inside out, because it works those deepest level of core postural muscles, it does help heal and prevent lower back pain. We do a lot of pelvic floor exercises, for example. I mean, something you never think of is pelvic floor, but these are those sling of, you know, muscles from the tailbone underneath.
Mm-hmm.
To your pubic bone. These are the muscles we use to eliminate urine and waste from the body. Why are these muscles important for men and women? Because of how they neurologically connect into the deepest layer of the abdominal muscles.
Really?
Yeah. So this is because now the research that's coming out of Australia right now on low back pain talks about this important connection. So suddenly in all the Pilates schools, it's all pelvic floor. It's all about these pelvic floor muscles. So sometimes, you know, what we're doing is very subtle and small. It's very invisible almost. You can't always see the exercises that we do, but they really help, train the deepest core or postural muscles in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the shoulder blades. Like, we do tiny little exercises, again, with small weights, to make sure that the muscles around the shoulder blade are working. And then we become more concerned with adding a bit more weight and working the more superficial outer layer of the body.
Okay, and working the muscles around the shoulder blade gives us what type of relief?
Well, what it does is it places your arm like in the correct position. It prevents, what it really does is prevents injuries from happening in sports, but not just sports, even things like, you know, reaching across a room and picking up something. I mean, it doesn't have to be a sports injury, but often you do see a lot of sports injuries when people are weak mm-hmm. around the shoulder blades. So it's putting that whole shoulder girdle area in a good position, in a strong position so that it can support the movements of the heavy arms as they are doing their thing. The same thing as the neck, the shoulder girdle, the neck, the head, everything's sort of connected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about stability. This is something that is very important with Pilates, stability of the shoulder girdle, stability of the neck, and of course the stability of the low back and the pelvis. So a lot of the exercises focus on stabilizing these areas. And often this is done with quite small but precise movements.
Okay. You mentioned, you know, early on, you know, that'd be great for someone to find a Pilates instructor or a therapist who works with it. How can we choose a good one? There's about 6 million people, Americans anyway, using Pilates at the current time. There's about 11 million instructors. How do we choose a good one so that we're getting the maximum result from our efforts?
Yes. Well, usually it helps first if the teacher is certified. You know, to find out, you know, where they studied, how long they've studied, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then what's really important is how you connect with someone. You know, that is so important. You know, you connect with teachers in different ways. Do you feel this person is really listening to you? You know, that they really care if your low back is hurting, and do mm-hmm. they really care that they, do they feel qualified that they're able to, you know, give you the right exercises to help whatever particular problem you might have?
Mm-hmm.
What the studio looks like sometimes is important to people. You know, going to the studio, do you like, is it a snobbish place? You know, some places are very snobbish and everybody looks like they walked out of, you know, on a California movie set. You know, you might not be comfortable there. Some people would rather go to a church basement and have classes. You know, a lot of Pilates classes are held out of community centers, out of church basements. And, you know, people who wouldn't set foot in a gym might go, you know, to that type of class and feel very, very comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of different things. You know, you want something affordable. You want something that maybe you could go twice a week. Maybe you could afford to, you know, do 3 times a week even.
Mm-hmm.
And that means group classes. And this is one of the decisions I made very early in my career, was to specialize in groups, because one-on-one is very, very expensive.
Okay.
And it might be important in the beginning of your rehabilitation process or the beginning of your exercising to do one-on-one. But I think most people find group classes a lot more affordable. So, again, you know, finding a situation that works for you. But connecting with the teacher is very important. And some teachers just have something that draws you in, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and you can't really judge that on the phone. You have to go in and try out different teachers, I would also recommend.
Okay, so it's about, you know, being a bit intuitive and feeling out what works for you.
Yes, yeah. And where you feel comfortable, where you feel that people are not staring at you. You know, you and your body and your injuries or whatever you're bringing to that situation, you know, that you feel that you're being respected and that you're being respectful of your body. And comfortable. I think comfort is very important with body work. People get very emotional sometimes with their bodies. You know, it opens up. Body work can open up a lot of stuff. And so, it is a risk.
Mm-hmm.
It is a risk, I think. For some people, I mean, I'm talking about people who might not have exercised for a long time.
Mm-hmm. But well worth it. I mean, you get back in contact with your body, you get in touch with your inner child, you get out there, have some fun, get some movement, get strong.
And get stress-free, get the stress under control. Because that's really what so much, we have way too much stress in our lives, like way too much. And even when we try not to, somehow do, and so you don't want stressful exercise as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree, 10,000%. Well, we're talking with Colleen Craig. She's the author of Pilates on the Ball, Abs on the Ball, and Strength Training on the Ball. They're available at Amazon, the major booksellers. You can get it from her website, which is PilatesOnTheBall.com. Colleen, I really want to thank you for being my guest today. Our time is just about up. It's amazing how fast the hour goes. So thank you, and perhaps we'll come back maybe about 6 or 8 months and see how we're doing here, okay?
Okay, thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem whatsoever. I will be back next week with author Walter Crittenden. So come back and join me. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about his book and movie that's out next week. And if you're looking to make some positive changes in your life, log on to www.healing-visions.com and click on the Manifesting Techniques link and download your free special report, Living Your Life on Purpose. And if you're really ready to make quantum leaps in your manifesting abilities, whether it's for peace of mind or love or money or spirituality or anything else that your heart desires, click on the Manifesting Program. This program will teach you the secrets to manifesting divine blessings from the heavens, which is your birthright. There's also a link for 3 powerful money meditations, and these techniques really, really work. So log on to www.healing-visions.com and click on the Manifesting Techniques link and start living the life that you want right now. If you want information about any of my guests or to find out about my personal appearances, log on to either one of my websites, www.walkingwithspirit.net or www.healing-visions.com, or give me a call at 888-240-6057. And remember, the master knows that he or she is always a student, whereas the student still hopes to someday be a master. Happy New Year. Many blessings, light and love to all. Namaste.